Amen. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of John chapter 16. For those of you who brought your life plans, business plans, financial plans, family plans, any file, any kind of folder that you have that you're not going to use right now, you're more than welcome to make your way to the front and just put it here on the stage area. Wherever you see an open spot, you can put it on the staircase, on the stage. Just bring it while I speak. And because as I minister the word of God, I just want to preach over these plans and I just want to minister over them. Just bring them. Just bring them. It's fine. I want to preach over it. I want the word of God that I ministered this morning to fall on these, to fall on these plans. For those of you who are here today visiting, wondering what's going on, we just do this every year with our spring celebration where I encourage all the people to prepare life plans and business plans and financial plans that they have, plans for their family. Put it in a nice folder or in a diary or in a journal that you have with God. And then every year we pray over this. So whether it's files that's on your cell phone or files that's on your laptop or on USB sticks, whatever it is, you just bring it and after the ministry of the word, we just pray over it and we bless it. Amen. So we're going to read in John 16. So if you are here today for the first time and you feel that you're missing out, you don't have to feel that you're missing out. You can go and prepare your plans this coming week. And next week, Sunday, I'm here and I will pray for your plans or anytime when I see you again. You can even take your plans, prepare them, and take them to your connect group this coming week and let your connect group leaders and everybody else that's there, your fellow brother and sister, let them lay hands on these plans and pray for it. But as I said, you can go and prepare it and bring it next week, Sunday, and I will pray over it. John 16:33. There are some other scriptures, about two or three, that I'm also going to quote, so you can just write them down for those of you making notes. John 16:33 says, I've told you these things, this is Jesus speaking, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. John 16:33 says, I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. The title of my word this morning is Zero Gravity. Zero Gravity. They can just maybe put on that slide for us. There you go. Zero Gravity. The Bible, the scripture that we read in verse 33, Jesus says, I have overcome the world. Now, for those of you who know this, those of you who don't know this, the Old Testament was basically written originally in Hebrew and the New Testament in Greek. So, Hebrew and Greek, they are very rich languages in the sense that when we, as Westerners, when we say the world, the word world, you know, it means the world. But in the Greek or the Hebrew, when they say world, it can mean many things because those languages are so rich. When Jesus said, in the world you will have trouble, but take heart because I have overcome the world, what he means by the word world is the arrangement of the cosmos, or the arrangement or the functioning of all things in the natural. So he's saying to us in John 16:33 that you are in a physical world, in a physical dimension, where all of the things that you can see and feel and touch and smell, they operate according to certain laws. And that makes our world. What is in our world are things like cars and houses and food, and we have things like weather, we have things like water and wind, and we have rain and we have sun and we have moon and anything that you can think about, that you can touch and that you can see and that you can smell makes up the world that Jesus is referring to. He's not referring to the world in the sense of world war or politics and those kind of things. When he's saying, I have overcome the world, it means everything in your world. Everything in your world that is natural and that is in a natural orbit. The arrangement of things in your world. So things in our world are things like the laws of wind and water. I have overcome the world. So there's a story in your Bible where Jesus and the disciples, they go on a little boat and they go to the other side, and the Bible says there's a storm. And the next moment, Jesus gets up and he rebukes the storm. The Bible says he rebukes the wind and he rebukes the waves, and a great calm comes on the sea. But listen to the remark of the disciples. They said, who is this man that even the wind and the water obey him? They haven't seen that aspect. But what they don't realize is the same man who just calmed down the sea and calmed down the wind is also the man in John 16:33 who says, I have overcome the world. In other words, I have overcome the elements even of wind. I have overcome the elements of waves. I have overcome the elements of storms. The same God who made the wind is the same God who can command the wind. The same God who made the water is the same God who can command the waves. Are you with me? I have overcome the world. When he says, I have overcome the world, it also means I have overcome weather patterns. I don't know how many of you have seen the movie Faith Like Potatoes. Angus Buchan, his whole story of this farmer that he was, and in the middle of a drought, he felt that God commanded them to just simply plant the potatoes. And in a season, in a time when they're not supposed to harvest any potatoes, they had it. And that's where the whole story comes from. Faith Like Potatoes. Those of you who haven't seen the movie, just go and rent it and just watch it. It will really empower your faith. But that is a classic example of how Jesus has overcome the world. He overcame weather patterns so that people, even in the midst of drought, can plant seed and it can produce a harvest because he has overcome the world. The Bible says he's overcome the world. It also means that that's why we can have faith for things like healing, that God can heal us of diseases. And that God can heal us and protect us from sicknesses. Why? Because he has overcome the world. In other words, he has overcome the anatomy or the composition of a virus. So he knows exactly how to deal with anything in the area of disease or sickness. Some of you know your church history, and you will know that there is a denomination, a big church denomination in our country called the AFM, the Apostolic Faith Mission. I'm actually an AFM boy, and I'm actually an ordained AFM pastor. So after matric, I went to Rhema Bible School, and after that, I went to the AFM seminary and studied there for 4 years in the AFM School of Theology. But if you really know your AFM history, AFM was birthed by a man with the name John G. Lake. And John G. Lake was used powerfully by God here in South Africa. And he was just powerful. I mean, there's stories being told of John G. Lake where he would ride, you know, on a horse going to the next town to go and minister and preach and pray for people, and the horse would die and he would just raise it from the dead. And they would just, you know, carry on further. There are stories being told of John G. Lake sitting in a train driving through a town and people in bars, you know, would fall on the floor and they would cry out to God for mercy and for salvation. And he wasn't even in the bar. He wasn't even preaching a word. He was just sitting on the train, minding his own business, going through town. And people would have this incredible encounter with God. But God used him in a mighty way in the healing of sickness and disease. And there's even stories being told where they placed deadly viruses in John G. Lake's hands. And under a microscope, they would literally see these diseases disintegrate in the palm of his hands. Because Jesus overcame the world. Anything that is in the orbit of your world, he overcame. He overcame the composition, the anatomy, or the arrangement of anything in your world. I don't care if it's a wind. I don't care if it's a wave. I don't care if it's an earthquake. I don't care if it's a drought. I don't care if it's a sunstroke. I don't care what it is. Whatever is in the orbit of your life in the natural, Jesus overcame. And that is why we as children of God have this belief that nothing is impossible with God. Because nothing is impossible with God. So he overcame the world. He overcame the orderly arrangement of things in the physical dimension because God is operating from a dimension that is not of the third dimension. God is operating from a dimension that is perfect and complete. The dimension that God operates from, the dimension that Jesus operates from, is perfect and complete. Now, we talked about wind, we talked about water, we talked about weather patterns, we talked about things like disease and sickness, and you can really put anything in those brackets. But the word that I want to bring in, and where we are going with this word today, is this. Jesus overcame the law of gravity. The only thing, If I pick up this book that is here now, John C. Maxwell, Dagbeplanner, 2018. When I hold this in my hand, it's got weight. And if we should put this on a scale, it's going to weigh a couple of grams. The only thing that gives this book weight is gravity. The only thing that gives me weight is gravity. The only thing that gives anything in this environment of ours weight is the fact of the law of gravity. Now, Jesus says, I have overcome the world. That includes gravity. Where are you going with this? Here's where I'm going with this. Your problems weigh something. And if you don't believe it, you know, just ask somebody that's going through a tough time and you ask them, how are you? And they will tell you, sometimes people make this remark, my troubles are weighing me down. What are they saying to you? Or people will say to you, oh man, I'm going through a tough time. I'm carrying a heavy burden. Or you say to someone, you look tired. And then you say to that person, yeah, because you don't know what I'm dealing with every day. Or you don't know what I had to deal with this last month. Or the last 6 months. Or the last year. What are we saying? We are saying that the troubles that we face, that John 16 is talking about, comes with a certain weight. And if we are not careful, it can really weigh us down. Some of the troubles that we face in life, their weight is on our minds. We really cannot think straight sometimes. It's as if the troubles that I'm facing is clouding my thinking. Others of us, you can literally feel your struggle that you are going through. You can literally feel it in your body. Whereas if you are tired or you feel it in your back, in your lower back. Many times the lower back problems that we have or the lower back soreness that we have has got actually nothing to do with our backs. But it's got everything to do with the stuff that we carry on the inside of us. Internally, and they simply manifest themselves in our bodies physically. Every now and then, there's this woman that I go to, and she's a, I don't know what you call her. What do you call Christine? She's a chiropractor. But she's not one of those chiropractors that twist you and all of that kind of stuff. What she does is, when you take off your shirt and you lie on your stomach, she goes into your back and she goes into your shoulders and she goes into, but she's like this inspector gadget. I don't know how she does that. She's like this detective, and she starts to feel around with her fingers, and the only thing that she's looking for are spots on your back that they say is storing toxins from stress. So it's not one of those women where you go and lie and you fall asleep. Believe me. There's no time to sleep there because she's only looking for areas on your back that's really hurting. And the point that I'm trying to make is that the stuff that we carry on the inside manifests on the outside. And they manifest through things like sickness and even disease. Many of the sickness and diseases that we as Westerners in our modern world that we struggle with is simply because it's stress related. Because we go through a hard time sometimes. And the word that I have for you this morning is zero gravity. That when Jesus says that he overcame the world, please understand that he overcame the gravity of your situation, the weight of the thing that you carry around. Let me explain something to you. How many of you have ever been to a meeting, like a church meeting, or you went to a connect group, people prayed for you, or you went to the conference and somebody ministered a word and there was this great atmosphere, and you walk out of that place, you get into your car, and you suddenly feel light. Just watch it. Those are the words that we use. When somebody is going through a tough time, you look at them and you say to them, why do you look so heavy? Because the gravity of that trouble, the gravity of their situation has got a hold on them. But when somebody had their release, or when somebody was prayed for, we say to them, you are looking so much lighter than what you looked last week. Or you say to people, I feel so light right now. It feels like I'm on a cloud or on cloud number 9. Why do we use these phrases? Maybe because subconsciously we know this stuff and we know how this stuff works. That in the one moment you have a trouble or a situation that you're working through, it's weighing you down. The next moment, it's as if there was a factor. It's as if there was this X factor, this thing that happened. The problem is still there, but you feel lighter. What happened there? Jesus overcame the world. Jesus has the ability to take away the gravity of a problem. This is where our faith comes in, family. This is waar ons geloof inkom. That is why we pray. Prayer does not change God. Prayer changes us. And that changes things. That is why you have a conversation with God. I know that God can do things without us sometimes even asking for it. But the reason why we go into this conversation with God is because as we are in this communion, as we are in this fellowship, as God is touching our hearts in prayer, he's overcoming the world. And whatever had gravity in you, whatever was weighing you down, he overcomes that and you feel light. And you begin to walk as somebody who's got victory in your heart. The Bible says in Psalms 55, verse 22, cast your cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you. Many years ago, there was a song that we used to sing, Cast Your Burdens Onto Jesus. You remember that song? If you don't remember, just act as if you do. Cast your burdens onto Jesus, for He cares for you. Psalms 55, 22. Cast your cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you. If this book that I'm holding in my hand is a boulder, weighing 2 tons, right here in this world of ours, in this physical realm, it weighs 2 tons. Will you be able to lift 2 tons right here? No, you can't. But if we take this boulder and we take it out of the earth's atmosphere, if we take this boulder and we take it and we cast it out of the reach of gravity, then it loses its weight. The very same boulder that you cannot lift in this dimension, the moment you cast it out of the reach of gravity, you can handle that very same boulder. The Bible says, cast your burdens where? Upon the Lord. Why? Because He overcame gravity. And the moment we take our burdens and we cast them onto the Lord, they become weightless. The very same thing that weighed you down in your heart and in your mind loses its grip on you. It loses its power. Because, family, here's the thing. If my situation does not change today, I can change. And that makes the difference. One of two things is going to happen with this boulder. Either it's going to stay in this dimension, and it's going to keep its weight and it's going to weigh me down, or I'm going to shift the weight to somebody else who overcame the gravitational pull. Are you still with me here today? And that is what I believe God wants us to do in this new season, in the spring season. Cast your burden upon the Lord with all its weight, because He who operates in the dimension of completion and perfection, He will sustain you. When we surrender a burden to the Lord, we submit it to weightlessness. Everybody say weightlessness. Where you are being freed and delivered from the down pull of that burden. He overcame the world. And the heaviness or the gravitational pull of that burden leaves your mind. And it leaves your heart. And not only are we delivered from the heaviness of a burden, but as we cast it to the Lord, He can simply also dissolve it into absolute nothingness. Isn't that awesome? To think that not only does God help us to get rid of everything that wants to pull us down, but as we cast it to Him, He can even dissolve that so that it simply becomes nothing. Say to the person sitting next to you, your problem is about to become nothing. Some people might say, well, this is all great in theory, but how much effort and how much strength do you need to cast this thing to God? Because many people's concept of God and where God is that God is somewhere up there. And He's a couple of light years away from planet Earth. So how bad, how much effort do I need to put in to cast this thing to the Lord? And the good news that I have for you is in your Bible in Colossians 1:27. Colossians 1 verse 27. It says this. Christ is in you. The hope of glory. So where do I cast this thing? You cast it at Christ within. That's why you are a child of God, and that's why God filled your life with His life. Christ within you, the hope of glory. You cast your burden on Christ within. Not only is Christ within perfect and complete, not only does Christ within you deliver you from the gravity or the heaviness of a certain burden, not only did Christ within you overcome the natural arrangement of that trouble, not only does Christ within you dissolve that burden into nothingness, but Christ within you is also the hope of glory. He is the hope of your breakthrough. He is the hope of your victory. He is the hope of your elevation. He is the hope of your new season. And He is the hope of your new day. Cast your burden on the Christ within. And He will sustain you from a dimension of completion and perfection, where He will throw you a party of zero gravity and make you drunk on hope. That is our God. I don't know about you. I don't want to get drunk on wine, but my God knows. I'm willing to get drunk on hope. Can somebody say amen to that? John 16:33, that we read in the beginning, said, in this world, you will have trouble. In this world, you're going to have moments where you're going to be in darkness, where your mind is going to feel clouded, where your heart is going to feel, my goodness gracious, I'm being surrounded by heavy darkness. In this world, you're going to have some trouble. You're going to have to deal with some darkness. And there's some things that I want to throw at you concerning darkness. For those of you taking note, can just write this down. Somebody once said, it is during our darkest moments that we must focus to see the light. Somebody else said this, hope is being able to see that there is light in spite of the darkness. And I like this one. It's usually darkest just before dawn. And I don't know who is going through a very dark spot in their lives. And if we ask you on a scale of 1 to 10 how dark it is, you can say to us, it's not even 10, it's 11. Because it's very, very dark. The good news is, usually when things really fall apart, you know that a new day is dawning. It's usually darkest just before the dawn. But here's a question that somebody once asked. And this question was this. How long will one remain in the dark? And the answer is, until you can see in the dark. And the only way that we can see in the dark is when we learn to cast our cares on the Lord. For as long as you are going to walk around with that care, for as long as you are going to allow that two-ton trouble to weigh you down, you're just simply going to get stuck in the dark. The only way that we learn to see in the dark is if we can take that boulder and just cast it. Where? On Christ within, the one who overcame the world of the gravity of whatever your trouble is. And as you do that, it becomes weightless and you begin to see in the dark. You begin to see and feel hope again. Even when the situation might still seem the same challenges, the same rude people in the work environment, or whatever your trouble is, it might still seem the same on the outside. But you know something changed. How do you know that? Because I feel lighter. It's as if my trouble was put on a diet. I just feel lighter. And the moment that you have that feeling on the inside of you, you know that you have cast your care upon the Lord. And let me just say this, family. Somebody once said to Zig Ziglar, I don't believe in this motivation stuff. And Zig Ziglar said, why? The person said to him, because motivation doesn't hold. Today somebody motivates you, 2 days later you need motivation again. He said, well, then you shouldn't believe in brushing your teeth either, because you have to do that every day as well. So what I want to say through that is, don't cast your burden only once. If you need to do it 2 days from now, do it again. Until your entire system comes in the flow of casting your care upon the Lord. Cast your care on the Lord and make that care weightless. Say to the person sitting next to you, make your care weightless. What is fear and worry? What is fear and worry? What is a great definition of fear and worry? It's this. It's only misdirected energy. That's what fear and worry is. It's misdirected energy. Where you could take your energy and use that energy to cast a burden on the Lord, you take that very same energy and you sit right next to the boulder and you stroke its head. So that is what fear and worry is. It is energy misdirected. And I want to encourage everyone in this building today to cast your burden on Christ within. I want to encourage everyone in this building today, as you enter into your new season, to direct all of your energy and all of your thoughts on Christ who is within you. Confessing this, Lord, you have overcome the gravity of this sin. I cast it upon you where there is completion and perfection, and I go free in the name of Jesus. I want you to make that your confession. I close with this. And we read this as well, or I quoted this to you earlier in Psalms 55, 22. Cast your care on the Lord, for He cares for you. But I want to read it out of the Good News Translation. And it says it like this. This is beautiful. Leave your troubles with the Lord, and He will defend you. Leave your troubles with the Lord, and He will defend you. As you cast your burden on Christ within, He becomes even your defender. And I close with this scripture in Exodus 14. This was Moses talking to the people. This was when their enemy was pursuing them. And I don't know how many of you sometimes feel like this, that there is an enemy pursuing you in your life. That enemy can be a disease. That enemy can be a trait or something that you are fighting in your family or fighting in your bloodline. That enemy can be something that's going wrong in your work environment or in your business. I don't know what that enemy is. But they were being pursued by their enemy in Exodus 14. And Moses said this to the people, verse 13. He said unto the people, fear not. Everybody say, fear not. He said, stand still. Everybody say, stand still. Because when our enemy is pursuing us, we are in this temptation to panic and to run. You know, everybody always, when a lion or a dog seems that it wants to chase you, what are you supposed to do? Stand still. And the reason why you should stand still is because if you run, you just awaken the predator instinct that this thing has. But the moment that you stand still, you confuse him. I have seen a program once where a lion was going for an antelope. And as he was going for this antelope decided, I'm just going to stand. I've never seen such a confused lion in my life. I promise you, I saw this with my own eyes. This lion had no idea what to do with this thing. It even took its paw and it would slap him on its bum so that it can run. Because a lion, it's in his nature. I can only run if you run. If you don't run, I'm a lion with an identity crisis. So if you're not an antelope, I don't know if I'm a lion. I've never seen a predator so confused. I'm here to tell someone it's time to confuse your enemy. It's time to confuse the thing that's pursuing you. And the only way that you're going to confuse it is fear not and stand still. I know it's easier said than done. When the thing with teeth and the thing with claws and the thing that's big and the thing that can kill you is pursuing you, stand still. Confuse your enemy. The Bible says the devil is walking around like what? Like a roaring lion. Stand still. Don't run. No, don't run. Stand still. Moses continues. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians that you see today, you will see no more forever. Verse 14. The Lord shall fight for you. The Lord shall fight for you. I don't know if you take that word, but I'm taking this word for me today. The Lord is fighting for me. I don't have to fear. I simply have to stand still, and I will see the salvation of the Lord. Not because I'm a great Christian, not because I'm a spiritual space cadet, and not because I'm a charismatic glow in the dark. The reason why I will see the salvation of the Lord is because my fight became God's. And he will fight for me. Say to the person sitting next to you, God is fighting for you. And you will hold your peace. So God is going to show his salvation for you. I don't know what your Egypt is. I don't know what your Egypt is. But there's a promise here today that you will not see that Egypt anymore. I don't know who your Pharaoh is. But there's a promise here today that you will never see that Pharaoh ever again. I don't know what is holding you in bondage. But there's a promise here that God is delivering you from that bondage. Make the decision to hold your peace and cast your battle. And cast your fight, cast your burden unto the Lord. Stand with me and let's pray together. Amen. Zero gravity. Zero gravity. Lord, I stand here today and I declare in the name of the Lord Jesus that every burden of a previous season is being made weightless. Everything that weighed us down mentally and spiritually in a previous winter is losing its grip. Everything that was pursuing us and chasing us down is being hit with confusion because I decided to stop running from my own shadow. I will stand and I will see the salvation of the Lord. I declare the confusion of God on everything that's been pursuing you and wanting to weigh you down. Lord, with this spring celebration 2018, in the presence of the Most High God, we make this declaration that winter is past and I will migrate. I will migrate my feelings. I will migrate my faith. I will migrate my expectations. I will migrate my mind. I will migrate my thinking. I will migrate my thoughts. I will migrate everything that is within me into the new season that God has prepared for me. Even though everything on the outside might still look the same, it's the same boulder. It's got the same dimensions. But there's one thing that's different with this boulder. I can handle it because I cast it on the Lord and weightlessness was taken from this thing. Whatever weighed me down in a previous season shall not weigh me down in this spring that God has for me. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Babes, I just want you to bring those prayer cloths and some oil. Just bring all of those prayer cloths. Is it everything that you've got there? Anya and I, we're going to lay hands on these prayer cloths. Just come and stand here with me. But we just need one bottle of oil. And we're gonna anoint them. We're going to anoint these prayer cloths with oil. For those of you that don't know what we are doing here, oil is a symbol of God's presence and of the Holy Spirit. And as we anoint these prayer cloths, and you're going to take them with you, we declare that as you touch it and wherever you're going to put it, the oil and the presence of God is going to come on that. Some of you might have an issue at your work. Take this prayer cloth and put it in the drawer. Have it there at your desk. Some of you are going maybe through a tough time in your business. Take this prayer cloth and put it somewhere. Put it on a wall or put it somewhere where it will make sense to you. Some of you might be struggling with something in your body. Take this prayer cloth and just put it in your pocket and you know, just walk around with it for a week or for a month and just have it there. Some years ago, I was walking into the Etienne Lewis there in Montana. And an elderly woman walked up to me. She said to me, Fani, I didn't recognize her. She was in a meeting where we had these prayer cloths. She said to me, Fani, how are you? And we started having this conversation. She said, wait a while. I want to show you something. She ran to her office, grabbed into her handbag, and she brought a prayer cloth. And she said, you remember that meeting? I'm still carrying this with me every single day of my life. And the testimonies that she gave me about those prayer cloths. So I know that this means a lot of people. You don't have to believe in it. I'm not here to convince anybody. But this is just a deep belief that I have. So what we're going to do is we're going to anoint these prayer cloths. And then we're going to put them on the communion tables. And as you're going to go to these tables and have communion, you can take a prayer cloth. Just take it with you. If you want to, I think there will be enough here. If you want to take a prayer cloth for your friend, there's somebody living in Cape Town, put it, go to Postnet and just package it. You know, just package it. Just send it to whoever is sick or going through a tough time, you know, wherever they are. Some of you have family in New Zealand or somewhere overseas. Just send it there. Just send it overseas. And tell them to put it in their handbag or in their Bible or wherever they can find a place. You can even write you know, a nice scripture on it for them. Maybe one of the scriptures that we used this morning, cast your burden upon the Lord, for he cares for you. He's your defender. You can put that on there and just bless somebody with a prayer cloth. Amen. Father God, we bring these, Estefiel. We bring these prayer cloths to you. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we anoint these with the presence of the Most High God in Jesus' name. Lord, wherever. The Bible says that in the day of Paul, they took the apron that he wore to wipe his sweat because he was a tent maker. They took that and they put it on the sick and they were healed. So Lord, we take this as the sign of your presence, as the sign of your precious and wonderful Holy Spirit. And wherever these prayer cloths are going to go, whatever car, whatever home, whatever living room, whatever Bible, whatever pocket, whatever handbag, whatever office, whatever circumstance, we declare in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ that the presence of God comes on that. Comes on that person and comes on that situation. We anoint these prayer cloths in the name of the Lord Jesus. We cast every burden upon the Lord in Jesus' name. Every boulder, every weight, everything that is weighing the people of God down, everything that is taking away the peace of the saints of God, we thank you for weightlessness coming on these circumstances in Jesus' name. All of these troubles that's weighing down the minds and the hearts of God's precious people, weightlessness is coming on them. Weightlessness. You are their defender. We pray over these cloths that these people will only stand and they will see the salvation of the Lord. They will see how the Lord God is their defense and they shall hold their peace. In Jesus' wonderful name, we want to thank you that you fight for every man and woman and every child in this place. Wherever there is a sickness, wherever there is a disease, wherever there is a financial trouble, we want to thank you that you make a way where there seems to be no way. Where there is joblessness, we want to thank you that you give them a job, that you give them a work. Wherever there's a promotion that is being deserved, we thank you for that promotion that is coming through. Wherever there is a contract that is sitting on idle and nobody wants that contract, we want to thank you that now they will want that contract in the name of Jesus Christ. Wherever there is somebody knocking on doors and no door wants to open up, we want to thank you for an open door in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever there is trouble, wherever there is war, wherever there is a battle, we want to thank you for the Prince of Peace that is making his arrival in that situation in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Wherever somebody's lost, we want to thank you that they will be found. We want to thank you for salvation. We want to thank you that somebody will find Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior in Jesus' wonderful name. And to you be all the praise and to you be all the glory. In Jesus' name. Will you, while you're standing there, just raise your hands. Just say, Lord, this is a special moment you have for me. I receive whatever you have for me. This is a special moment in the presence of God. Right, can some people just quickly come and help? Maybe Chris, Peter, just grab these cloths and just put them on the tables. There's a table in the front, a table right at the back. Thank you guys, I really appreciate it. You can leave some of them here. As some of the people will come here, they can even fetch some of it here. Family, we are almost done. I want nobody to leave. After we did the communion, we're going to do something with the balloons. So when you're done with the communion, just go back to your seat wherever you are right now. And then we're going to do something with the balloons. And that will be the conclusion of our celebration. Anybody is welcome to be a part of the table of the Lord. And the reason why we do the table of the Lord is because we believe that Jesus Christ was broken for us. His body was broken for us. And as you take that bread and you break it this morning, you declare that so God has broken the gravity over any trouble in my life. As you take the wine or the juice that we have here this morning, that's the blood of Jesus that flowed for you. And the Israelites would take that blood and they would put it on the doorpost, and the angel of death couldn't touch that house. And as we drink the blood of Jesus, we declare that no death can touch my life in Jesus' wonderful name. Father God, we thank you for your blessing on the table that is here today. Thank you that you bless your people. Thank you that you were broken for us so that we can be whole in this earth. In Jesus' name, and everybody say. You can make your way to the tables. There's one in the front, one right at the back. The husbands that are here, you can serve your wife. You can serve your kids. The single parents who are here, serve your kids. If you are here by yourself, just come. Bring a friend along, or just do it with somebody or by yourself. May God bless you.
The breath you exhale sustains.